Hello, this is your Sun Sounds volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton, bringing you this week's edition of Earth and Home. Today, we will be reading from Real Simple Magazine at realsimple.com. Let's get started with the first article. Do you struggle with clutter creep? Here's how to stop it from taking over your home. Even the most organized homes fall victim to it. Here's what causes clutter creep. Why it impacts your mental health, and how to fix it fast. By Wendy Rose Gould. Published on May 11, 2025. Key takeaways. Clutter creep is the slow, often unnoticed buildup of items in a home. Clutter can impact mental well-being by increasing stress and cortisol levels. Experts recommend small, consistent habits to prevent clutter from creeping back in. A few months ago, you proudly nixed a ton of excess clutter in your home and happily basked in the joy of tidy surfaces. But today, as your eyes shift around your space, you realize you're somehow surrounded by a muddled mess again. What gives? You've probably got a case of clutter creep, and a ubiquitous conundrum that affects even those with the best intentions. Accumulating clutter is much more common than we may realize. About 54% of Americans feel overwhelmed by the amount of clutter they have, says Alicia Barker, president of Organizers Direct Industries, and 78% find it too complicated to deal with, which ironically leads to more accumulation of clutter. We're here with expert-backed advice to help you break free from the clutter creep cycle and reclaim a calm, clear space that feels good to live in. Meet the expert. Alicia Barker, president of Organizers Direct Industries, a leading provider of custom home organization systems. Jessica Littman, a professional organizer and the founder of The Organized Mama, a home organization brand and blog that offers practical tips for busy families. Anita Yakota, a licensed therapist and interior designer who specializes in mental health-oriented design. Why clutter creep happens, even in organized homes. Clutter creep is a slow accumulation of clutter over time that sort of sneaks up on you. One day your home is tidy, and the next you've got rogue piles and littered surfaces working against your hashtag organization goals. It's a slow, almost invisible buildup of stuff that happens when we're not paying attention, says Anita Yakota, a licensed therapist and interior designer. It's not the obvious piles, but rather the drawer that's suddenly overflowing, the bathroom shelf with products you forgot you had, or the stack of Amazon boxes in the corner. This sort of slow-growing clutter is quiet and unassuming because it builds over time, making it easy to miss until one day you realize your space has a new sort of heaviness to it. How clutter creep affects your brain and mood. Yakota adds that, along with making it harder to find items, science has found a correlation between clutter and our mental well-being. There's research showing that clutter can actually raise cortisol levels, especially in women. In other words, it has a physiological effect, she says. When we're surrounded by visual chaos, it becomes harder to relax and feel grounded. Our nervous systems are always taking cues from our environment, and clutter sends the signal that something's unfinished or out of control. So essentially, clutter equals stress. Signs of clutter creep. Piles on chairs, surfaces, and corners, and having a tricky time finding items or figuring out where they go are all obvious signs of clutter creep. Here are some subtler indications you're dealing with the issue. You keep reorganizing the same spaces instead of clearing them out. You buy storage containers to manage clutter instead of reducing it. You feel slightly stressed or unsettled at home, even when it looks tidy. You scramble to tidy up when guests come over because things don't have a place. You don't have as much flat surface space as you used to because items are taking over tops of counters, bookcases, and tables. You struggle to enjoy your decor because it's overwhelmed by a sense of too much stuff. Decluttering tips that actually work to prevent clutter creep. If excess clutter is keeping you from living your best life, it's officially time to make a change. These expert tips curb clutter creep at a fundamental level to prevent those piles from sneaking up on you time and again. Identify and document clutter zones. Start by writing down all the piles you see in your home. This may feel overwhelming, but identifying clutter zones puts you in control. Write down every pile you want to tackle, says Jessica Littman, professional organizer and founder of The Organized Mama. Once you see the list, it won't be so overwhelming because you will have all your projects on paper. Then you can take action. Tackle clutter in short bursts. You don't have to address every single clutter zone on your list in a day. Instead, work in short bursts. Maybe you give yourself the length of your favorite podcast, a chapter of your book, or simply set a timer for 20 minutes, Barker says. Once the timer goes off, you can stop there or keep going if you're in the zone. Create a holding box to minimize decision fatigue. Ever noticed how much energy it takes to declutter? While it can be physically laborious, it's also mentally draining due to all the decision-making you have to do. Instead of deciding on the spot whether to keep or toss something, place it in a holding box and let it sit for 24 to 48 hours, Yokota says. This gives you a chance to step back and ask, do I really use this? Does this still serve me? That short pause can help break the cycle of impulsive decision-making and build a more mindful relationship with your belongings. After a day or two, sort through the holding box. You might be surprised at how easily the decisions come once the items sit for a bit. Adopt the daily micro-decluttering technique. The concept of daily micro-decluttering is the counter-answer to how clutter creep happens in the first place, in small doses that are difficult to notice until piles accrue. Spend 5 minutes every day removing clutter quickly, like those things you know can go in the recycling or garbage, Littman says. This quick change to your daily habits can easily prevent clutter from piling up. Make sure every item has a home. This one is big for setting yourself up for success. Take the time to give everything in your home a designated spot. You don't have to find all the items and put them there, but give everything a spot with a label, Littman says. Then, as you find things, add them to that spot. This also helps you visualize when you've accumulated too much. If the item's home starts overflowing, that's a sign you need to edit. Reset your body's craving loop. When the urge to buy something new hits, don't give in to the desire so quickly. Instead, take a pause. You're likely chasing a dopamine hit and not something you truly need, Yokota explains. Step outside. Drink water. Organize a drawer. Redirecting that impulse can train your brain to find satisfaction in presence, not purchase. Clutter creep doesn't have to win. With just a few consistent habits, you can take back your space and your peace of mind. That concludes the article, Do You Struggle with Clutter Creep? Here's how to stop it from taking over your home. Now we'll move on to 8 decluttering rules I live by as someone who writes about organizing for a living. After over a decade of covering organizing, these are my top takeaways, by Leslie Corona, published on January 7, 2025. I consider myself extremely lucky to write about all things home, including decorating, cleaning, and organizing. I've been covering these topics for over a decade now, and while I think I'm naturally a bit of a homemaker, my job has certainly played a huge role in how I maintain my apartment. People always comment on how neat and tidy it is, and guests are often shocked when I tell them how much stuff I actually accumulate from my job. I'm frequently sent products to test for content, so they always ask how I manage to keep clutter at bay in my home, and I give a lot of credit to the organizing experts I've spoken to over the years for my stories. I've adopted so many good habits thanks to them. And because I don't believe in gatekeeping, here are the 8 decluttering rules I swear by to keep my apartment organized. Create a decluttering schedule and stick to it. To really keep clutter to a minimum in my home, I've learned that I need to move things out on a consistent basis before they pile up. I've created a decluttering schedule that I can stick to. The trick is to make it realistic so that it works with your lifestyle. I try to do a seasonal edit of my wardrobe. Then about once a month, I bring products I've been sent to test for work down to my storage unit in the basement. Items live here until I have enough things to schedule a donation pickup, which happens about twice a year. Throughout the year, when the mood strikes, I'll declutter small pockets in my home. More on this later. Then in December, I spend a few days during the holidays doing a deeper decluttering session, tackling spots I avoid the rest of the year. If it seems like I'm constantly decluttering, it's because I kind of am. Breaking it up this way makes that end-of-year declutter session so much easier. You're really only tackling just a few zones, instead of your entire home. Plus, because I'm so used to decluttering often, my brain is now trained to want to get rid of clutter almost immediately, so I actually want to stick to my decluttering schedule. Set up a concealed donation bin or area. This is probably the best way to keep your home looking tidy, even if it really isn't. As you declutter, tuck items away into a designated donation bin, basket, or closet. I have an area near my dining table that's a bit hidden, and this is where I store anything before it goes down to our storage unit in the basement. Truthfully, this is the easiest way to tackle clutter right away if you're busy. It's simple to just toss things into a bin and deal with it later. Just make sure you actually do the latter and ensure those things leave the premises. Maintain the nooks and crannies. I mentioned this earlier, but when the mood strikes, I like to declutter the small pockets of my home where clutter can accumulate. Think the medicine cabinet, nightstand, junk drawer, etc. I call this the nooks and crannies approach because they're the little nooks and crannies of your home, and I feel so accomplished after I sort through these areas because they don't take long at all, at most 15 minutes. And because I don't usually store anything super important in these areas, it doesn't take much brain power for me to decide what to keep or toss. There's no rhyme or reason to what I tackle and when I do it, and I like the flexibility this mindset allows me. It makes it easier to keep up. As long as I'm doing something, even if it's small, I'm content. Keep surfaces mostly clear. My countertops, coffee table, kitchen island, console, etc. are not usually cluttered up, and this is probably why people think my home is pretty neat. I keep only the things I use daily on my kitchen countertops. A dish rack, coffee machine, smart home device, and cooking utensils are pretty much the only things on display. I have a KitchenAid mixer I don't use regularly, but keep out because it's too heavy for me to move. I do not keep food items or condiments out, which, thanks to packaging, can make your kitchen look busy. I also keep decorative objects to a minimum. I have a simple centerpiece on my dining table and a little tray of knickknacks neatly displayed on my coffee table. My entertainment console surface is also quite sparse. I do have decorative accents on it, but I keep them in groups of two or three. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is Earth and Home, and I am your volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton. Let's get back to 8 decluttering rules I live by as someone who writes about organizing for a living. I never cluster more items than that together, and even my sofa is pretty bare, with just 2 throw pillows. I have a few nice quality baskets that I stash bulky things into, like throw blankets, extra pillows, hand vacuums, etc. Pare down, then pare down more. Coco Chanel famously said, "Before you leave the house, look in the mirror and take one thing off." This is something I subscribe to as I'm decluttering. When I think I've finished sorting through a space, deep down I know there's a thing or two lingering that I could do without. We all have a tendency to hold on to more than we need, so I'll do another quick edit and try to get rid of at least one extra item. Sometimes this means being a little ruthless, but there are very few times I've truly regretted getting rid of something. Pick furniture with exposed legs. This isn't exactly a decluttering strategy, but I truly believe this is another reason people think my home is super neat and clutter-free. Choosing furniture with exposed legs can really make a room look so airy and light. It tricks the eye into thinking your home is way bigger and emptier than it actually is. Bulky furniture, on the other hand, just looks heavy and takes up a lot more visual space. Generally, the more floor you can see, the less cluttered your space will look. Take the one-in, one-out approach. This is a method I'm pretty diligent about lately. Whenever I bring anything into my home, I try to get rid of a similar item. I do this especially with makeup and clothes, which are easy categories for me to overconsume. For example, if I buy a new blush, I get rid of an old one. If I buy a new sweater, I donate one I no longer wear. It forces me to really be intentional with what I buy and helps me evaluate what I already own. Do I really want to part with one of my many beloved dresses to make room for a new one? Only things I genuinely love deserve a spot in my home. It's a habit I've gotten into as of late, and it's helped tremendously with keeping my apartment from exploding with things. Eliminate emotional attachments to things. Whenever I'm struggling to get rid of stuff, I shut off the emotional part of my brain during the decision process. I remind myself that most of the things in my home are not essential to my survival. Sure, I keep enough stuff and the right stuff in my home to ensure that I'm emotionally satisfied, but for the most part, I really don't have an attachment to things. If everything I own went away in an emergency, God forbid, I'd probably be okay. There are very few things I really have trouble decluttering. If something was incredibly expensive or there's some serious sentimental value, then that's different. But for the most part, if you truly regret tossing something, there's a good chance you can easily replace it. It's not an attitude I encourage because the goal is to acquire fewer things, but it's something I remind myself of. Do I really want to donate all the party games my husband and I have somehow acquired, even though we don't have big gatherings? What if I decide I want to start throwing parties? What if a gaggle of my friends stops by uninvited and want to have a good time? But then I tell myself that that's all very unlikely to happen because I won't suddenly become a new hyper-social person, and games are the type of thing I can easily repurchase. Once you disconnect yourself from stuff, it's so easy to let things go, and it gets easier to bring fewer things into your home. That concludes 8 decluttering rules I live by as someone who writes about organizing for a living. 5 things you can declutter in 5 minutes or less. Set a Timer and Go by Amanda Lauren. Published on May 15, 2025. If you're going through a phase where everything feels a little chaotic, perhaps both physically and mentally, we highly recommend decluttering just 1 or 2 small areas of your home to help you feel a little more put together. It's incredibly satisfying when you see the organized end result, even if it's not a very big mess, and sometimes it'll encourage you to keep going. Just a few minutes of sorting through little pockets of micro clutter can have a huge impact on your senses of accomplishment. Trust us. So get your laser focus on. Here are 5 things you can quickly tackle. Your handbag. Decluttering your handbag can make it easier to find things. After all, there are few things as stressful as fumbling through your purse at an inopportune moment. Professional organizer Ashley Stewart of OCD in Arizona recommends starting by going through your receipts and wallet. Throw away all old receipts. For receipts that need to be saved for returns, store them in a pouch. After that, remove all random trash from the bag, such as loose papers, pens, lipsticks, and glasses. Finally, Stewart suggests reorganizing with pouches. A pouch for makeup, a pouch for your phone charger, a pouch for receipts. Your car. Much like purses, cars can become dumping grounds. Fortunately, these spaces are very easy to clean out. Start with food wrappers. Don't be embarrassed. Everyone eats in their car. And move on to empty water bottles. Don't forget to check under the seats. Then open up the glove box. This is a space where we tend to stash things and then forget about them for years. It should only contain important things like your insurance card, registration, and manual. Next, clear out the center console as well as any door and seat pockets. Bonus points. If you've got an extra 5 minutes, go through your trunk. Don't worry, it's okay to keep some essentials in this space, such as reusable grocery bags, jumper cables, and a few extra bottles of water. The pantry. There is so much we keep in our pantries that it's easy to forget what's there. So these spaces become very cluttered. Start with your spices. Anything that's expired should go. Then go through foods like pasta, crackers, nuts, and snacks. Toss anything expired or stale. Finally, evaluate your canned goods. Move anything that's close to expiring to the front of the pantry so you can use it ASAP. The refrigerator. Refrigerators need to be decluttered regularly because you don't want to eat anything that's gone bad and get sick. Work your way from bottom to top. Check the fruit and veggie bins for anything that's on its way out. Then evaluate the shelves, working from bottom to top. If you can't remember when those leftovers were first consumed, put them in the garbage immediately. Go through your cheese section. Anything with mold should be thrown out because eating moldy cheese is dangerous. Finally, declutter the doors. Say goodbye to any condiments that are almost empty or expired. Your desk drawer. A desk drawer can get extra messy. Start with things like pens and pencils. Anything down to the nub or dried out needs to go. Old receipts, gum wrappers, and loyalty cards should be removed. Then check for broken paper clips and lone staples. Then relocate anything that shouldn't be in the drawer, such as books, change or cash, gadgets, and gift cards. Make a separate stash for mail and go through that at a later time. That concludes 5 things you can declutter in 5 minutes or less. 5 messy habits to break so your home actually stays clutter-free. Break These Habits for a Tidier Space by Amanda Lauren, published on March 9, 2025. There's nothing like coming home to a perfectly organized space. Your closet is sorted, your living spaces are tidy, and your kitchen counters are clutter-free. But keeping things this way is another challenge altogether. However, that doesn't mean it's impossible. Sometimes it's just helpful to know what's holding you back. So, professional organizers filled us in on 5 common reasons why your home doesn't stay organized, plus some helpful tips for keeping things in order. Meet the expert. Brianna and Erica Spruill, professional organizers and founders of Just Be LLC. Angela O'Brien, professional organizer and founder of Your Space Reclaimed. Katrina Green, ADHD organizing specialist and coach, founder of Badass Home Life LLC. You're prioritizing aesthetics. There's something about seeing a beautifully organized space on TikTok or Instagram that motivates us to recreate the look in our own homes. However, arranging our snacks to look like a rainbow isn't necessarily the best approach to keeping an organized pantry, according to Brianna and Erica Spruill, professional organizers and founders of Just Be LLC. The first thing we discuss with our clients is to get the vision of being aesthetically organized out of their minds, Brianna Spruill says. Why? Because that is not our initial goal. So many people tell us they need to be more organized when in fact, they just need to declutter and simplify so that there is less to manage in their homes and lives. So it's crucial to focus on the excess and get rid of as much as possible, then find an aesthetic way to arrange it that's easy to maintain. You don't have a home for things. Whether it's an extra roll of toilet paper, your face wash, or socks, every object you own needs to go somewhere. We might have trouble staying organized because we have not established a specific home for our things. Or maybe we have set aside a place for our items, but they don't get put back after being used, says Angela O'Brien, professional organizer and founder of Your Space Reclaimed. The organizer's motto is, don't put it down, put it away. There are lots of ways to keep your home organized with this approach. One suggestion the organizer has is to designate a basket as a temporary spot for things until you put them away. Stash the basket in a busy spot like the bottom of a staircase. O'Brien also recommends considering whether or not you have a home for something before you purchase it. This applies to everything from that extra large bottle of laundry detergent to new decor. You don't have a system. If you don't have a system, it's really challenging to maintain an organized space. While there are lots of ways to create systems, Katrina Green, ADHD organizing specialist and coach, founder of Badass Home Life LLC, suggests the zone approach, making sure like items are stored in the right zones of your home. For example, it must make sense in your brain that this item belongs in the kitchen, Green says. A major part of creating a system is to establish boundaries and rules for yourself. Taking 5 minutes a day or even every other day to pick up the things that are not in their real place will reduce your need to take more time to do upkeep, Green adds. Spreading it in smaller increments versus looking at it as a project will help you have a less disorganized home. You don't declutter regularly. Decluttering once a year or even quarterly won't cut it for some spaces. This is because life brings clutter, O'Brien says. We bring food into and out of our pantries and refrigerators, O'Brien continues. Our kids grow out of their clothes and need larger sizes or different trends. We might even develop new hobbies or interests that require new equipment. All of this can make it difficult to stay organized in our homes. So while you can't stop living in your home, you can schedule in more frequent decluttering sessions. A few minutes once a month checking expiration dates in the pantry, a quick review of our children's clothes once a quarter to see what still fits and what can be handed down, or a yearly clean out of the garage can really help us keep the excess clutter at bay, O'Brien adds. You're holding on to too many sentimental items. Grandma's china set might be meaningful, but if you're a grab-and-go kind of person, are you really going to use antique dishes? Probably not. The same goes for your kids' artwork. There's no need to hold on to every project. Erica Spruill tells me one reason why many of us fail to stay organized is that we just have too many sentimental things in our homes. If you are holding on to too many sentimental items, is it out of guilt? She asked. If it's paper, scan it, and consider passing some things on to another loved one. Don't forget, when everything is important, nothing is important. So, think carefully about what you really want to keep. That's the end of 5 Messy Habits to Break So Your Home Actually Stays Clutter-Free. If you missed any part of this program or are interested in another program, check out our on-demand menu on sunsounds.org. We are at the conclusion of this week's Earth and Home program. This is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton. Thank you for tuning in this week. Join me next time for another new and informative program. Have a great week and stay tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona.